Masechet Pesachim has been dedicated by Mr. Ike J. Shehebad in honor of his grandparents, Mr. Ike and Jeanette Beebe. We bless Mr. Ike Shehebad, who's been a sponsor of the Daf Yomi for many days. They should continue to enjoy success, health, and happiness. May his grandparents also enjoy much nachat from him as well as all their grandchildren, and may they only share in simachot for the entire family. Amen. Daf Kof Tet. Today's daf has been dedicated by Dr. Isaac Meddeb and his wife Lily in memory of Moshe ben Rachel Mann. Ruach Hashem, Tanihenu began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied by Anun Ishmael, Bacham Baruch Rafael ben Miriam and Abraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem, Tanihenu began Eden. Amen. We are beginning on Daf Kuf Tet, Amud Rishon, and we are 1, 2, 3, 4 lines from the top of the Amud. Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Chotfin Matzot Belele Pesachim, Beshvil Tinokot Shelo Yishnu. Now, the interpretation of this Gemara is indeed a machloket amongst the Rishonim. What does it mean? Chotfin Matzot literally means you grab the matzot on Leil Pesach in order that the children should not sleep. So let's read the Rashbam's interpretation first. Chotfin matzah, magbihin et ha-ke'ara. Now, so he learns that you lift the ke'ara, that's the, we call it the seder plate, b'shvil tinokot shiyish'alu, in order that the children should ask. Now, obviously, the Rashbam must have had a different girsa here. As you see, the Masoret HaShas brings down that there was a different girsa kedesh yish'alu. Not in order that they shouldn't sleep, but in order that the children should ask. Mm-hmm. So according to this first understanding of the Rashbam, it seems that that was his text. In order that they should ask, you do something out of the ordinary. You lift up the ke'ara where the food is on there. Ve'ite mefarshe chotfin matzah. You grab the matzah, so that would mean ochlim maher. You eat fast. Now, why do they eat fast? In order that the children are able to stay up for the seder and they don't fall asleep. Chotvin matzah. They eat the matzah fast. Shene leshonot alalu piresh rabenu. Those were the two interpretations that Rashi explained. Ve'yesh gursin mitzvot. Some have the girsa mitzvot. Magbihin et ha-ke'ara sheyesh ba matzah umaror ubet tafshirim. So the chotvin mitzvot. When you lift up the ke'ara that has on it all the mitzvot of the night, the matzah, the maror, the shnei tafshirin. And we have a custom like this as well, that before the manas shtana, we do lift up the ke'ara and we take it inside in order that the children should think that the dinner is over, and then they ask questions of manas shtana laila zeh. So this is still a practice. Velinir e chotvin mesalkin et alechem miyad atinokot. You take away the matzah from the children, shelo yu yeshenim mitoch ma'achal arbe, kederech atinok achar achilato, veshuv lo yishalu, which means you don't feed the kids their full meal. Chotvim. In the middle of the meal, you grab the matzah away from them, because when the children get full, they get tired, they go to sleep. So therefore, you don't feed them their full measure on their Pesach, so they can stay up, and they stay up to ask the questions. Aval achshav kashechotvim mehem lo yishnu, they won't sleep v'yishalu. So therefore, this interpretation combines both, so they don't sleep in order that they should ask the questions. Kedomar lo yishnu shelo achlu kedes subam, because they didn't eat their satiation. וישאלו כשיראו השינויים שאנו עושים מכירה לתינוקות כדי לקמן וכן מוכח לשון התוספתא דתניא רבי אליעזר אומר חוטפין מצה לתינוק כדי שלא יישן. You grab the matzah from the kid so they don't fall asleep. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Meshemo Afilu lo akal ela hazeret achat. Even if the kid only ate one piece of hazer like lettuce, velo tibel ela perperet achat, and he only, let's say, dipped one piece of meat, let's say, Chotvin matzah latinok, you still grab the food away from him. Kedesh shelo yishan, kelomar gozlin. Gozlin meaning you steal it from him. Chotvin. V'rabenu pirash shechen ikar oto lashon shepirashti chotvin b'maharin leechol. So then the Rashban's preferred interpretation is you eat quickly. Why? Midiketani had Rabbi Akiva batra. Later on, right in the next piece over here, we're going to see how Rabbi Akiva would start the Siddur early. He would go quickly in order that the children should not sleep. So you see there's a connection between this drasha and Rabbi Akiva, meaning they did the Siddur quickly in order that the children shouldn't sleep. דחייש שלא ישנו ותרי מילי נינו ובידי העזר אירי לחטוף בין התינוקות אחר שאכלו מעט כדי שלא ישנו ורבי עקיבא אירי שליך למד לעשות הסדר תרם שישנו which means it's two statements that will be back to back both have a common denominator because you don't want the children to sleep take the food away from them quickly that's the first statement and Rabbi Akiva is going to tell you that they would start the seder early in order also that the children should not sleep so that's the connection between the two statements now The Chok Yaakov writes that when the Rashbam says that you take the lechem away from the children or they shouldn't get tired, they shouldn't sleep, and therefore they'll ask the questions, then he brings the Rambam, Chotfim Matzav Ze Mize, Kedesh Yishalu Abbanim, which means the custom the Rambam says was from each other. They would grab the matzah, you know, from each other, so to speak, or the kids would say, what's going on over here? So he writes over here, שאפשר שמזה נתפשט המנהג שמניחים לתינוקות במדינות אלו לחטוף האפיקומן שעידי זה לא ישנו והתעוררו לשאול. That's where we got the custom, that we let the kids grab the אפיקומן. Right? Hey, where are you going with the אפיקומן? No, we're taking it, they hide it. Why do we let them do that? Again, חוטפים מצה. We let them grab the מצה in order they should not sleep. Okay, comes the Gemara and continues. Tanya, Amru alav al Rabbi Akiva, miyamav lo amar higiya et la'amod bebet ha-midrash. He never would say, it's time to get up from learning. They would learn until all night. He never would say, it's time to get up. Chutz, ma'arbe pesachim, ve'arev yom kippurim. Except for 2 days a year. Erev Pesach and Erev Yom Kippur. בערב פסח בשביל תינוקות כדי שלא ישנו in order that the children should not be tired and sleep וערב יום הכיפורים כדי שיאכילו את בניהם and ערב כיפור so they can feed the children now what does this mean? So let's read the רשב"ם חוץ מערבי פסחים כדי שישנו את התינוקות ביום ולא בלילה בשעת ההגדה so he's telling you so the fathers can go home and put the kids to sleep And therefore, so the kids will be up. So Rabbi Akiva would mevatel Torah for this item. Tosfot doesn't accept that. The top Tosfot says, "Haki garas benu shemoy belo nihira daatu lo yochlu nishan belo aviem." What does that mean? The kids can't go to sleep on their own, or they need their fathers to put them to sleep. Then he gives a second answer. The Rashbam. Ina me'am reading Rashbam. Kishemakibim ad alayla lahar shi'ashik yeshenim atinokot. Which means they would not stay in the Bet Midrash late at night. In order, why? Because the kids are going to fall asleep. So the Tosfot asked them, V'tam shni shepiresh shemi ya'kvu ad shi'ashak harbe im ken lo ayu sirichim na'amod bayom kim balayla. According to this reasoning, why did they mevatel the Midrash in the day? Rabbi Akiva should have got up. Once it got dark outside, he said, okay, Rabbi, we have to go for the Seder. Why would he have to mevatel in the day? Mm-hmm. So both reasons that the Rashbam brings, the Tosafot, cannot accept. So therefore, the Tosafot has a different girsa. The garis lele pesachim. Instead of erev pesachim, it's lele pesachim, which is a beautiful concept, he says. V'ayu negirim bebet ha-midrash lel yom tov. They used to sit in the Beit Midrash and have shi'ur and learning even on the night of Yom Tov. And it seems on a normal Yom Tov, they would sit in the Midrash for a while and they wouldn't start the Sa'udah till late. Except for Leil Pesach, Rabbi Akiva would say, Ad kan, we have to go home to make the Seder. Like the Minyan Ba'aseh B'Shavu'an HaTemani, Shelo Ba B'Leil Yom Tov, the Beit Midrash. The Mahar Mitzahor B'Yudah Ben Babat. The Gemara Betzah says, one of the rabbis didn't show up to the Beit Midrash on Leil Yom Tov, and they asked for him. So you see, that was the custom. Now, what does it mean? And Erev Yom HaKippurim. So it seems that they would to feed the kids, because the kids obviously don't fast on Kippur. So therefore, in order that they give food to their kids that are not going to fast the next day. The Ritba learns it, this is even referring to the Gedolim, because we know that there's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Kippur. The Gemara says that whoever eats on Erev Yom Kippur as if he fasted the ninth and the tenth day. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva would mevatel the midrash on Erev Kippur so the adults can go home and eat and fulfill this important mitzvah of eating on Erev Kippur. Okay, comes Gemara and continues. Tanu Rabbanan. We have a braita. Hayav Adam Nesameach Banav Ubni Beto Baregel. A person is obligated to mesameach, to make his family and his children, his wife, happy on the regal, on the regalim. Shene emar, as the pasuk says, v'samachta b'hagecha. Now what? You have to be happy on the hag. The full pasuk is, v'samachta b'hagecha, ata u'bencha u'betecha, v'abdecha v'amatecha, v'alevi v'aged v'ayatom, Almana asher bishareka. Now, the Tosfot just questions why the Gemara chose this pasuk. Tema dehai kira gabe maaser sheni ketiv. This is not really written by the Hagim. Beparashat Re velo maiti kira dechti beparashat Re gabe regel v'samachta ata ubanecha ubitecha. Beto behedya. Now, since by Maaser Sheni, the pasuk clearly says ata ubetecha, which teaches means his wife, so therefore it chose that pasuk over the other pasuk that's written by the regel. So therefore we learn from there that even his wife. So it comes again and says, "Bema misamecham." How do you misameach them? So the Tarakama says, "Biyayin." That you give them good wine, and that makes people happy. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no, anashim b'ra'ui lahem, v'nashim b'ra'ui lahem. No, you can't just give them wine. Not everybody enjoys wine. The men, whatever they enjoy, and what's worthy for them, and the ladies, what's worthy for them. Anashim b'ra'ui lahem b'yayin. The men, they enjoy a good wine. V'nashim b'mai, and what about the ladies? Tani Rabbi Yosef b'babel. Depends where you are. In Babel b'begdei sim'onim. With the colored garments, you know, the picturesque clothes. Be'eretz Yisrael, be'begdei pishtad, me'gohatzim, with the special linen clothes that were pressed. Now, why didn't they give the linen pressed clothes in Babel? So the Tosfot says, aval be'Babel lo ayu biki'in le'gahetz. In Babel, they weren't professional at making giutz, at pressing the clothes. So therefore, that would not be a good item to give them. However, in Israel, they were good at making the giutz, the pressing of the clothes. You'd give them the linen garments. Tanya, we have a bright that Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera Omer, Bizman shebet ha-migdash kayam, en simcha ela bebasar. When the Beit HaMikdash was around and they brought the korbanot, so then already the ikar simcha is what? With the basar shneimar, v'zavachta shelamim, nachalta sham v'samachta lefnei Hashem Elohecha. Which means they would bring a korban shelamim, like we learn shalmei simcha, that they would bring on the regel, before the regel actually, and on the holiday itself they would bring the korban hagigah. So therefore, that was the ikar simcha. ועכשיו שאין בית המקדש קיים, now that there is no בית המקדש, אין שמחה אלא ביין. So well, we can't have בשר anymore, but we can still have יין. How do we know יין brings שמחה שנאמר? ויין ישמח לבב אנוש. That the wine is משמח the hearts of men. And that is even applicable till today. But we can still have wine on Yom Tov. Now the Gemara goes back to discussing the shi'ur for the arba kosot that we mentioned on the previous daf. Now we learned that the kos should have at least a rivi'it. And when we say rivi'it, it doesn't mean a rivi'it of wine. It's altogether a rivi'it, which is one part wine and three parts water. Because we remember that they used to have the dilution in the times of the Gemara, because their wine was very strong. So now the Gemara is going to give us different ways to measure the shi'ur of a revi'it. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yitzhak, Kasta de Morisa de Hava Bitsipori, he Havat Kimin Luga de Mekadesha Uba Misha'arin Levi'it Shel Pesah. So Rabbi Yitzhak said, the Kasta de Morisa, Rashi, Kasta Rashbam, Kasta de Morisa, Mida, it's a measuring cup. Shemokhrim ba Hamurias, that they sell the Morias in there. Morias would be like the
fish fats.
The fish, exactly. The fats of the fish, they would sell them in a certain keli. So this item that they call it the Kasta, the measuring cup of the Morias, the Ava Bisipuri, that was in the city of Tzipuri. So it says, Havat kimin luga de mekadesha, which means the shi'ur of it was a log. Now, we know a log is four rebi'iyot. When we say rebi'it, it's really rebi'it, a log. Okay, so there's four rebi'iyot and a log. So this item over here was the shi'ur of a log. Now, what does it mean, de mekadesha uba? So he explains it like the log of the holy Beit HaMikdash. Which means the Beit HaMikdash also, they would put it on the Mizbeah. You need to know shi'ur of log for the Yayin that they put on the Mizbeah. So this shi'ur was the log, meaning exact measurement like they had it in the Beit HaMikdash. Uba misha'arin de vi'it shel Pesach. And they were able to use this item, this measuring cup, to know that the vi'it shel Pesach. Meaning, they would fill it up, and then you'd know already you have enough arba kosot. Because once already you fill it up, you have four rebi'iyot, which covers your four kosot for Pesach. Let's read that in Rashbam. Uba mesha'arin rebi'iyot shel Pesach, shememale'in ota, they would fill it. Umehalkin ota l'arba kosot, put it in four cups. Delog arba rebi'iyot. Now, Amar Rabbi Yohanan, timyata kadmaita, the early measuring cup, called the Timyata, the Havab Tiberia, that used to be in Tiberias, Havat Yitera Alda Riv'ah, was a Rivi'it bigger than the first cup that we talked about, the Kasta de Moraisa. So therefore, they were able to use this cup as well as measuring cup to figure out a Rivi'it. How? He says, Uba Misha'arin Rivi'it Shel Pesach. With it, they were able to figure out the Rivi'it Shel Pesach. How? They would fill up the larger measuring cup of Tiberia first. And then, after they fill it up, they pour it into the smaller cup of Tzipori. And whatever was left over in the larger measuring cup of Tiberia, you knew was a Rivi'it. Because there was a Rivi'it more in the Tiberia measuring cup, the early one, than in the Tzipori. So you fill up, the, what do you call it?
This is the current one of Tamaita.
No, the Kadmaita. Kadmaita is the.
I'm saying the Osmos is in comparison from the older Tamaita to the current. The original Tamaita was a Revi more than the current Tamaita.
Oh, okay, wait, okay, fine. I mean, but we were talking about the early, the Kadmaita, the old one. So the old one had a more than a Revi'it. So what did you do? Alright, you say you just used the two Tamaitas, Jimmy.
Right,
okay,
right.
Got it. They took the early Tamaita that had a Revi'it more, fill it up, pour it into the current Tamaita, and they would fill to the top. Whatever you have left over, not you have a Revi'it. Good.
As opposed to the...
Good. Look at the Rashbam. Rashbam says that clearly. Rashbam says, Tamnita Mida. V'hainu Tuman V'uklad Masekat Sota. Fine, it's a measuring. It's a measure. Hava Yitra Alda Tamnita. Very good. The early one was bigger than the current one. Uba misha'arin nevi'ot shel Pesach, shayu memale'in ota. They would fill it. Umeharin letoch ota shel achshav, ad shi mele'ah. Umayim nesharim b'tamnata hi rebi'it. And whatever's left over is going to be a rebi'it. Comes Gemara and says, Amar Rav Chasda, rebi'it shel Torah. Now the Gemara is going to give us how to calculate the shi'ur of a Rivi'it in area. So the Gemara says, the Rivi'it of the Torah. Now, obviously there's other places besides Leil Pesach where the shi'ur of a Rivi'it is necessary. As a matter of fact, the Leil Pesach is not even a shi'ur for the Torah. That's a shi'ur but the Rabbanan. So Rashbam tells you, Kigun Rivi'it Yain Shel Nazir Halakha Moshe Mesinai, that the Rivi'it Yain that a Nazir drinks to break his nezirut. If you have, let's say, a revi'it of blood that comes from two corpses, it causes oil tuma if it's under a roof. The revi'it of shemen that's necessary when the nazir brings his korban and his menha, you need a revi'it of shemen. Which is, if you measure the keli that you're putting this revi'it in there, havi etzba'ayim orech al etzba'ayim rohav berum etzba'ayim v'hatzi etzba v'chomesh etzba, which means the shiur would be length two etzba'ot would be an etzba. Whenever we say etzba, means the wide part of the thumb, that's considered an etzba. So therefore it would be two etzba'ayim in length by two etzba'ayim in width by 2.7 etzba'ayim in height. Now, how do we get that? We read that inside. That's two etzba'ayim going in length by two etzba'ayim in the width. Berum, with the height of etzba'ayim, that's two etzba'ot, v'chatzi etzba, and a half etzba, v'chomesh etzba, and a fifth of an etzba. So, very simple. Take a half of an etzba and a fifth of an etzba, just break it down into the fractions, break it into tenths. A half of etzba would be 5/10. A fifth of an etzba would be 2/10. So that would give you 7/10. So that would be 0.7. So therefore the shiur would be 2 by 2 by 2.7. Which means if you have a cup with those measurements, you know for sure you can fit a revi'it. So comes the Gemara and says, Kidetanya. Like we learned in the Braita. Now what the Gemara is going to do is, it's going to bring you the shiur of a mikveh. And once we learn the shiur of a mikveh, we'll be able to automatically break that down and figure out what the shiur of a revi'it is. Because after all, a mikveh is 40 se'ah. And therefore, once we break down what the shiur in measurement, how much, what's the shiur that you fit 40 se'ah in, so then just by bringing it down to a revi'it, we can figure out exactly what the area, the cubic area for a revi'it is going to be. The Gemara does it. Gemara says, Kedetanya, like we have a braita. Verachatz b'mayim et kol besaro. The pasuk by Mikveh says that the fellow will immerse in the water all his flesh. So we learn from this pasuk a few things. Number one, shelo yeh davar chotzetz ben besaro lamayim. Number one, we learn the law of hatitza. There could be nothing interfering between his flesh and the water. How do you know that from? Because the pasuk says, "Et kol besaro, v'rachatz b'mayim et kol besaro." Well, therefore, we learn that what? That the mayim has to be al kol besaro. The mayim has to be on the basar, as opposed to something that is in between, that is interfering. B'mayim. Mm-hmm. Now, when the pasuk says b'mayim, that means the special waters. B'me mikveh. Right, Bamayim is the waters. What does the waters teach us? The special waters of Mikveh, meaning they have to be rainfall, it has to be collected on its own, it cannot be Mayim Sheuvim, where they were drawn. Et kol besaro Bamayim, and when it says et kol besaro, meaning it has to be waters that can cover all his flesh, what do we learn from there? Mayim shekol gufo ole bayim. It's got to be enough water. The minimum amount of water of a kosher mikveh would be the amount that a person would be able to immerse himself, and the water would cover his entire body. Mm-hmm. Now, what is that? So comes the Gemara and says, "Vekamayim, how much is that? Amma al amma berum shalosh amot, which is one amma in length." One amma in, not one amma in length, no. Amma al amma would be an amma in width, an amma in depth, berum shalosh amot, and shalosh amot in length. Okay, so it's 1 by 1 by 3, okay. All in amot. Now, why did they get that shi'ud? Because a normal sized person, again without his head, when he lies down, is able to put himself in, to lie down straight in three amot, and the normal width of a person would be an amma, and let's say the thickness of a person from his belly button to the back would be also an amma. So when he lies down, now, even though we're not factoring in his head, but what happens when you lie down in water? The displacement causes the water to rise. And therefore, when he lies down in that water, it'll cover his head as well. So they're giving you, if you take the cubic area of one amma by three amot, that's the shiur. Now, what is it equal in shiur? The shiuru hachamim shiur memikveh arba'im se'ah. The rabbis told you, 40 se'ah, that is going to be the measurement. Now, from this, we're able to now figure out what the shi'ud of a revi'it is. Which means we're looking for a revi'it 2 by 2 by 2.7. Now, we're going to figure that out from what we know already by the 1 by 1 by 3 of a mikveh. How? Now, the Rashbam, over here as you see there's a big Rashbam, goes through an entire mathematical process in order to get to the conclusion of this calculation. Other Rishonim have different ways to get, like most math problems, there are many ways to get and figure it out. Each one uses the system that he felt was most easy for them to get to the conclusion. For the sake of this shi'ur, we will offer the approach that Rabbeinu Hananel gave in order to come to this conclusion. For those that want to read the Rashbam, you have the art scroll, has a whole chart on 109b1 where you can see exactly, but it is not in the scope of our mathematic ability, at least today, to go through this chart, but we'll give it to you quickly according to Rabbeinu Hananel. How we start? Just facts that you have to know. An amma equals 6 tefahim. Okay, now, every tefah has 4 etzba'ot. So therefore, in every amma there is 24 etzba'ot. Fact. So therefore, if we would want now to go back to our shi'ur of mikveh, which is one amma by three amot, let's break it down into etzba'ot. It would be 24 by 24 by 72. Okay, let's keep that. We just broke it down from amot to etzba'ot. Now, let's go to the shi'ud of the mikveh, which we know a shi'ud of the mikveh is 40 se'ah. That we know. Now, a se'ah is 6 kabim. Each se'ah is 6 kabim. And we know that in each kav, there is 4 lugin. And a log is 4 rabi'ayot. So therefore, if we would want to break down 40 se'ah into the bi'ayot, we would get 3,840 the bi'ayot. It's 6 times 4 times 4 times 40. Right? That's how you're getting it. You're going
196 to 96 times 40.
196 times 4. Very good. That's how you're going to get the shiur of the bi'ayot. So let's go to the calculation again. We would say then, 24 times 24 times 72 etzba'ot equals 3,840 rebi'ayot. Now what is that calculation of etzba'ayot? So it's 41,472
etzba'ot.
So again, 41,172 etzba'ot equals 3,820 rebi'ayot. Okay, that's another way of saying the one amma times one amma times three amma equals 40 se'ah. We're just breaking it down into different levels. Now, once we have this, we can figure out how much is one rabi'it. Right? Which means how much is one rabi'it of a mikveh. That we just divide. Which means 3,820. Mm-hmm. That's already the shiur of 40 se'ah, right? And we have the shiur that fits in is into 41,472 square cubic. Very good, cubic etzba'ot. So we divide. in order to find out how much is one ribi'it. One ribi'it would be 41,472 divided by 3,840, and we would get the answer of 10.8. So therefore, one ribi'it is 10.8. What is 10.8? 10.8 would be 2 by 2 by 2.7. That would be the cubic shi'ur of that. So we figured out that the 2 by 2.7 is indeed the shi'ur of a rivi'it. How did we do that? By going all the way to the mikveh se'ah, breaking it down, and we come out to the shi'ud. That's the way that Rabbeinu Hananel figures it out. Again, there's other ways to figure this out. You don't have to break it down to etzpaot. You can break it down to lugim. You can break it down to whatever denomination is easy, and then just make the calculations. Okay, comes the Gemara and continues. See that? Yeah. Comes Gemara and continues. Amar Rav Asher. Amar li Ravin bar Hinena. Ravin bar Hinena said, Shulchan shel Mikdash. The Shulchan that they had in the Beit HaMikdash, shel Perakin Haba. It was made out of components. It was not one solid piece. De'i salka datach. If you tell me that it was all attached, it was one solid piece, amta be'amta hechi metabliyah. How did they dip it? Why? Because the shulchan in the Beit HaMikdash was gold. That was what Moshe Rabbeinu made. It was amatayim orko. It was two amot in length. Ve'amah rochbo, one amah in width. Ve'amah komato, and an amah in koma, in height. Now, when they would have to dip this table, if you're telling me that the shi'ud of the mikveh is only one by one, you cannot fit something that has the width of an amah in something that is exactly an amah. No, it's not big. It's one amah to one amah. Which, if you're going to dip it on the narrow side of it and immerse it in the mikveh, you're not going to be able to fit it in, because the width of the mikveh is only one amah. And therefore the table is one amah. So the Gemara says, how did they dip the table, the shulchan, in the event that it became tameh? Now we're assuming that in the Beit HaMikdash, because of reasons of lack of space, they made the minimum size mikveh. Now, if that's the case, you have to say that it was made in perakim. It was made in part, pieces. Now if you look at the art scroll, it just shows you how they did it. On 109b2, you see a picture of it. What they did is, you see the table was split right down the middle. And therefore, you see that one amah is now, you have a half amah, right, on one side over there, and a half amah on the other. And therefore, you're able to now dip it in the mikveh. Now, obviously, you have to say that the legs were detachable. I know that you could fit it in the mikveh. But the point is, you have to say the table was able to come apart. So, right, just so you could fit in the minimum sized mikveh. Could be the Rashbam. The isal kadatach. Actually, we should perakim ava. Sheicholim lefarek rochbo l'shnayim. Now you were able to split its width into two. Vechen raglea shulchan, and so to the legs of the shulchan. Ena mechubarim yafeh, v'yicholim lefarkan, and you were able to detach them. The isal kadatach haduke mehedak she'en yicholim lefarek rochbo. If you're telling me you weren't able to detach it, hechi matzim matbile. How were you able to dip it? Why? Ho'il v'rochbo ama. Bechlishu amma al amma, and you're putting it in a keli that's an amma al amma. The mikveh yasham b'hazara, because that was the mikveh's shi'ur of the hazara. Kedavim even said in yomah, ina me be'amat amayim shebhazara sheba matbinim kli sharet. There was a certain stream, let's say, that had in the hazara that would dip kli sharet that became tameh. Shiret ba'vaitar chava amma, also was only the shi'ur of an amma. Ma'ashem nikret amah. That's what they call that stream of water, the amah tamayim, because of the shi'ur. In any event, so he says it had to be split. The Gemara rejects that. The Gemara says, no. My kushya, what's your question? Dilma biyam she'asa Shlomo hava matbile. Shlomo HaMelech made a special pool in the Bayit Rishon, and therefore maybe, and that was tremendous, as we're going to see, it was 150 times the shi'ur of the mikveh. So therefore it was humongous. So therefore who says that to make a table that was detachable? They dipped it in the yam of Shlomo. The Tani, Rabbi Chiya said, Yam she'asa Shlomo mahzik me'av ha'mishi mikveh tahara. The yam that Shlomo made was able to fit 150 times the shi'ur of a mikveh. As the Gemara in Erubin explained.
6,000.
So that would be 150 times 40. That would be 6,000 se'ah.
How many would be eaten?
How many fingers?
Okay. Right, 6,000 se'ah. Okay. Comes the Gemara and continues. Velo yifhatu lo me'arba'ah. Now, for this piece of Gemara that's coming up, we need a introduction, just in order to understand what we're about to get involved in. We are now about involving ourselves in the sugya of zugot, the sugya of pairs. Now, we know that the Torah does forbid a wide variety of witchcraft practices, sorcery, and the likings. Now, there is a great mahloket amongst the Rishonim how to understand these Isurim of the Torah. Harambam, who has a very novel interpretation to these things, he writes there's no such thing as witchcraft, and there's no such thing as demons, and there is no powers besides the powers of Borei Olam, and therefore all these he says a rational person should not give any credence to any forces that are associated with these things. And he says the reason why the Torah forbids you is not because they have powers, is because that would be the initial draw you into this magic, into these constellations, to get you to eventually worship Avodah Zarah. So he's forbidding it not because of the powers, but because of what it can lead to. That's the way the Rambam understands. However, Ramban, which is the majority of the authorities, Ramban Nahmani, he says no. There are powers of black magic, and there is kohot hatum'ah, and the Torah is telling us that we cannot go to these witches and sorcerers, etc., that have these forces over here that are using these kohot. That is that. Wow. Now, in this argument over here, we are going to take in this Gemarat, obviously the Ramban's opinion, that says there is forces of Tum'ah, and these forces do have an ability to impact and damage a human being, people. That being said, this Gemara is telling us things that are done in pairs can cause the, you want to call them the demonic forces, or however you want to say, kohota tum'ah, to attack and to damage. Therefore the rabbis were very careful not to do things in even numbers, because they felt it can awaken the tum'ah and it can be damaging. Now, one of the mefarshim explained what's the logic of why pairs are forbidden. Because in our belief, we believe Hashem Echad, Hashem is one. To say that there's two kohot already is avodah zarah, that is blasphemy, that's kefirah, that's the denial of the oneness of God. And therefore anything that's done in two was, so to speak, an ability to awaken the kohot of tum'ah that tried to deny the oneness of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, things in pairs would show as if there's good and bad, there's light and darkness, there's the powers of good and the powers of evil, and therefore things that were done in two or in pairs would, as if to say, there's two different kohot. So therefore, they kept away from these things, lest to awaken the bad side. He calls it over here, it's the Rabbeinu Bachya, that the avoidance of pairs is a concrete expression of our rejection of dualism. Dualism is the heretical belief that there are two deities, heaven forbid. The rectification of all of creation comes through the awareness of God's oneness, that He is one, alone, and unique. That there are several twosomes in nature that would superficially indicate two creators. Two hands, two feet, two eyes, two ears. Also, there are a number of dichotomies, land and sea, past and future, this world and the next world, light and darkness, etc. So therefore, these things would awaken those kohot. Now we begin the Gemara. The Gemara says that we drink four kosot on the night of Pesach. Oh, four kosot! Sugot, it's pears. So comes the Gemara and says, "V'loi fatu l'marba, hechi mitakne rabbanan mide de'ate balide sakana." How are the rabbis able to establish something that can cause a person to come to sakana? Ve'hatanya, we learned in the Braita, lo yochal adam tre. A person should not eat two things, which means, for example, two of the same fruit, or two of the same foods, vegetables. A person shouldn't drink two cups of the same drink as well, because that would be zugot. And a person should not clean himself when he's in the bathroom twice. And also, the Rashbam is referring to tashmish amita. He should not be mishamesh twice. So comes the Gemara and says, "Hey, tell me over here, you're doing arba kosot." Amar of Nachman, Amar Kera, Leil Shemurim. Pesach is called the night of protection. Leil Amshumar Uba Min Amazikin. This is the night that we are protected from the different Mazikim, the different kohot over there. Like the Pasuk says on the night of Pesach, Velo Yitena Mashait, Lavo El Batechem Lil Gof. If he's that night, the mashchit, the powers of destruction, did not have the ability to enter the house. And that's why there are different minhagim, for example. Some leave the door open on the night of Pesach. Why? There's no mazikim that night. Shefuch hamat kalaguim, they say. Because on that night we're not worried about sakana. Others do not recite the different pesukim of Kiryat Shema Lamita, which was specifically intended to ward off the mazikim. For that matter, Leil Shemurim again. For that matter, there's a whole halakhic discussion on Leil Pesach, the first night that falls out on a Leil Shabbat. Do you say Birchat Me'en Sheva or not? Many of the Nishonim say, even though normally we do say Me'en Sheva on a regular Friday night, but on Leil Pesach, we don't. Why? Because Leil Shemurim, the whole reason of the institution of Me'en Sheva was why? Because when they used to go home at night, there used to be mezikim, so everybody wanted to leave the synagogue together, so they would stretch the tefillah, so there wouldn't be anybody left behind. But on the Leil Pesach, when you have to say Me'en Sheva, this Leil Shemurim, nobody's going to get down. So you see this principle of Leil Shemurim manifest itself many times in the halakha. And all these things are brought down in the halakha. Right? Some had the custom not even to lock their doors on Leil Pesach. They were even unlocked the whole time. Comes the Gemara and gives another answer. Rava Amar, Kos Shel Beracha Mistaref Letoba Ve'eno Mistaref Lera'a. The third cup of Birkat HaMazon can only be counted for good but it cannot be counted for bed. Which means, if you have two kosot, let's say, two kosot you drink during the meal. Well, you got a problem, you got zugot. And then you make Merkat HaMazon, you have the third kos. Well, even though you drank them, two before Merkat HaMazon, one after, kos shel berachas mistaref letoba. Meaning you count it as number three. The eno mistaref lera'ah. But you can't use the kos Merkat HaMazon to hurt you. And therefore, if that's your fourth cup that's going to cause you to have zugot, you delete it. And therefore, if you take away the Merkat HaMazon from the factor, then you only have three kosot. So kos Merkat HaMazon can only help you, it cannot hurt you. Let's read the Rashbam. Rabba Amar, kos shel Merkat HaMazon, shu shilishi, lera'a eno mistaref lashlim zugot besakana. Which means if you're going to drink the fourth cup, which we do for Halel, the third one is not going to hurt you, because if your third one counts, then your fourth one is Zugot. So delete the Berkat HaMazon, you have three, you don't have Zugot. Like we're going to see. Now, one more answer. So that's the second answer. Third answer. Ravina Amar, Arba'a Kaseh Takinu Rabbanan Derech Herut. Kol Had Vehad Mitzvah Be'ampeh Nafsheh. Which means each course was established separately for another purpose of Herut. Like we said from the Yerushalmi, you have the four Lishonot, Ve'otzeti, Ve'tzati, Ve'galti, Ve'lakarti. Each course represents a different phase of our freedom. And therefore, it's not considered four kosot. It's considered, each one is considered an individual course that stands on its own. As a matter of fact, you see that if, let's say, a person only has enough wine, where not for four kosot. So he drinks as many kosot as he has. So you see that the kosot are not even ma'akev each other. Each course, it's not, we see that all or nothing. And I see each course stands on its own. So therefore, you would not have a problem of the din of kosot. You wouldn't have the problem of zugot. And the way he explains it over here, in the Rabbeinu David, in the Ran as well, that each one was mitukan for a different item. For example, one is for the Kiddush, one is for the Haggadah, one is for the Berkat HaMazon, and one is for the Halil. So each one is coming for its own Inyan. So since it's coming for its own Inyan, it's not four cups for the same item. Each cup stands alone, therefore there's no Inyan of Zugot. Baruch Adonai Olam. Amen.